prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another week here at the Superhuman Nation. Glad you could join me. We've got lots of great shows. This is an amazing week of shows. So many exciting shows going on this week. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic, too. Thanks to Elisa Profumo. Elisa's with me. How you doing, Elisa?
Hey, Carl. How are you?
Good. So I called our first guest, Marion Nestle, who Marion Nestle is an amazing woman. She has single-handedly taken on some very, very big tasks in food and health, and she does it in a non-conspiracy theorist, non-zealot approach, and she's accepted by most people in the mainstream. She gets the message out there that many of us wish we could get out there, and she does it so well, and literally called me and left me a message and said, I'm so sorry, I never put this on my calendar. I see that you're going to be calling me in a little while, and I have to leave. The whole day is a mess. And so I called and I said, don't worry about it, we'll just book you. And she goes, is this going to leave you in a lurch? And I said, well, I got a half hour of radio to fill, but we'll find a way. And then who did I think of? Elisa. So tag, you're it. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
So anyway, but we do have some things to talk about anyway. So this works out great. We didn't do a casual Friday last week because we were upgrading the software and we have no more ghosts in the system. So that's a good thing. We thought we could talk about a couple of those topics, but more importantly, the announcement of something exciting. And something that's going to launch during the month of October. Do you want to announce it?
Well, we hope it's going to launch during the
month. Oh, no.
We have
it's
so much going on.
It's going to launch in October, I guarantee it. In fact, I'd like to do it within 2 weeks, and we can. Go ahead.
Okay.
What is it?
My show, my own radio show.
Finally! I've been asking Elisa to do a radio show for 5 years now, and she sits me down yesterday. This is so funny. She goes, I need to talk to you about something serious. I'm like, oh, man, what did I do? She sits me down, and she goes, I think I'm ready to do my own radio show. And I was like, it's about GD time. So, yes, and it's called, the name?
Superhuman Sisters.
It's going to be dedicated to women.
Yes, and it's just going to be 1 hour a week for now.
Right.
And we haven't decided on a date, a time, or a day of the week yet, but more to come with those specifics.
I'm thinking we do a live show on Wednesday. It goes out on the podcast directories Wednesday night. This will be on superhumanradio.com, so it won't be a separate website. We'll have a tab for Superhuman Sisters Radio Show. And it'll reside on our website. So this will be really easy to integrate into the project. I will be the producer. I will produce the show. You won't hear me. I'll be in the background working the mic and the settings and getting the guests on the air and all that sort of stuff. And I'll produce the show. And, the format is going to be a 1 hour format, and you're going to be able to cover everything that women want to hear about, right? Like some of the topics.
Yeah. You know, just everything. Some of the, you know, things that we already talk about, but other things too, like I have a friend who was a competitor. She's an older competitor. I say older. She's in her 50s, but she's gone on to do beauty pageants now.
Right. I mean, it's never too late, is it?
No, it's never too late. So, you know, don't let your dreams die. You can do it at any age, right?
Right. And then obviously, I think relationships will probably be part of this discussion because women tend to be the keepers of relationships more than the men. So I would imagine relationships will be part of the discussion. Diet, menopause, the issues that women face that men don't. I mean, there's just such a rich amount of topics that you could cover specifically for women. I think it's going to be an amazing show.
Skin care, like you said, diet, fitness. Just everything, you know, everything and anything. The playing field is wide open there.
So once a week, 1 hour, and will you have guests? Will you have co-hosts? What's your thinking on this?
I'm going to do both. Sometimes I'll have a guest, that I'll interview, but other times I'll also like to have some of our listeners as co-host so that they can contribute things that will help our audience. You know, our listeners have are very valuable to us, and I think that sometimes, like we've talked about before, use the same. The View comes to mind because they have all these different co-hosts
right
together, and kind of that format.
Yeah, and everybody has a different angle on everything, so it puts together a richer discussion.
Correct.
So if you're listening to the show today, and you're a guy, and you have a woman in your life that you think would be a great contributor to Superhuman Sisters, email us at onair@superhumanradio.com and let us know. And if you're a gal listening to the show and you want to be involved in the show, email us at onair@superhumanradio.com and Elisa will get your information and communicate with you. And, you know, I want this to be a community event. Don't you want this to be a community event, Elisa?
I do, yes.
So everybody contributes. All the girls and the women in the audience can be part of this show and take credit for its development and also drive some of the topics. I think it's a great idea. Great idea.
I agree.
About damn time. Okay, so there you go. So that's what she said. She says, I have to talk to you about something that's very important, very serious. I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, what is she going to tell me? And then she goes, I think I'm ready to do my own radio show. I said, and then at the end of this discussion, I go, so that's it? That was it? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, why? Were you really nervous? I said, yeah. You never ever say to me, sit down, I have to talk to you. You know, I thought it was going to be something really like, I don't know, someone we know is deathly sick or something like that. And that's what it was. I was like so excited to hear that. So Superhuman Sisters, keep your ears out and your eyes open because I promise you that we will have a show produced very, very soon. I'm excited about this. This is something I've been wanting to happen for a long, long time. What would you like to talk about? We have about 7 minutes to fill before I have the GMO discussion.
Do you not need a commercial break?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, not for 7 minutes. And let me go ahead and tell you what we're talking about today. So today we're going to be joined by Shiva Ayyadurai. I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly, and I'll get corrected when I'm talking to him off the air. He has published a study that we talked about on the show that shows that genetically modified soy is not significantly similar to regular soy or non-GMO soy. And his research has been all but ignored, except the largest newspaper in India, in the country of India, has picked the story up and run with it. And that is The Hindu. And he did an interview with The Hindu. You obviously don't hear about this in the United States, but in France, in Germany, all over Europe and other countries, they're talking about it, except here there's a complete media blackout about his interview with The Hindu. We're going to be talking about it here on Superhuman Radio in about 15 minutes. And then we're going to also be joined by Randy Roach today because he is releasing Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors Volume 3. And this is a very exciting event. We're going to tell you how you can get a free chapter during the interview. So sit tight for that.
You know, what I'm disappointed about is I contacted Organic Consumer and I contacted Food Democracy Now, who, you know, I, you know, we've had Dave Murphy from Food Democracy Now on the air before. I contacted them and told them that Dr. Shiva was going to be on the show today, and they never responded. I'm very disappointed.
Well, you know what Elisa's talking about is a phenomenon that has been going on for years as it relates to this show. We have used this show as a platform to allow other people who are doing the hard work of educating the public about the truths and dangers about nutrition, the government, and so on and so forth, on the show, to use the show as a platform to reach our audience and engage them in being involved in their mission, right?
Yes.
And we have never asked anybody to help us. We've always, and I was raised that way. You help other people, you don't look for help. But it's time now where we're starting to say, look, we'd like to start to call in some of these markers. Let's ask some of the people that we've helped over the years to help promote the show. We can't get anybody to respond. It's really interesting, isn't it?
It's very frustrating. Like I said, I emailed last week Dave Murphy and his other contact, the media person there, And there's been no response from anybody, and it's just frustrating. So if you guys know people in these organizations that you can contact and say you want them to something, I mean, because they send newsletters out with links to other podcasts, and this podcast has just as much information in it, if not more, than the other podcasts.
Right, right. And we also have a strong opinion, too. And we draw the line in the sand about how we feel about a lot of this stuff. I'm not ambivalent about it. I mean, I take positions driven by critical thinking, and I make those positions well known. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm too outspoken. You think that could be it?
Well, I don't know. So some could say, well, your podcast has commercials in it, and we offered to cut the commercials out and send them the commercial free podcast.
Right, right. But they didn't respond to that either.
No.
No. And you know what the funny thing is? And I don't know if I've talked about this before, but during these months, starting in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October through November, we get over 1 million downloads a month of Superhuman Radio. I don't think people realize this. There's a company we're talking to right now that's interested in possibly doing something and helping to develop a channel for this podcast on their network. And they were shocked that we get that kind of downloads. And I had to deliver server logs to them to show them that this is, in fact, what we get. And I don't think people realize how large the audience is, because for some reason we've operated, I don't know, I don't think we've done a good enough job at promoting the show itself. We just do the show. We do the hard work about doing the show, the interviews, producing the shows, and we don't do enough fanfare type stuff. But we get over 1 million downloads a month. Now, that's slightly inflated because we do 10 hours a week of radio. We do 22 shows a month where people like Adam Carolla, he gets 1 million downloads of just one episode. So I'm not saying I'm a superstar of podcasting, but also we're not a newcomer. You think that people would try to leverage what we've done and bring us into their camp, so to speak.
Yes, I agree. And the one response from the one guy about saying, wow, you get over a million downloads per month, he almost sounded sarcastic in that. He didn't believe it.
I know. We have a new sponsor coming aboard, and they were like questioning. We sent them just a few servers. No, we have 34 servers. I don't think people realize this, but when we had to go to a CDN because we were getting so many downloads and it was eating up so much bandwidth and creating so many denials of service, people were saying it was taking hours to download a single podcast. We went to a CDN at the beginning of this year. We have 34 servers. We get 34 server logs that we have to analyze using software. One single server log from one of our busiest regions of the United States, that one single server log gets 250,000 downloads all by itself. So when people say, oh, you get 1 million downloads, I find that hard to believe. No, it's not. And we have the server logs to prove it. And we have the network to prove it. But yet, when we ask these other organizations to help us spread the word, they act like as though, you know, who are you? Who are you? I don't know who you are. You know? It's frustrating. It really is.
Yes, it is.
But we're going to do a better job at that because I really think the audience can help us with this. Audiences can help the show not grow, but become a little bit notable. People start talking about the show more. We're going to start asking the audience to help us. We've got some ideas for some campaigns coming up very soon. And we're going to ask the audience just with a click of a mouse to help us let people know that the show exists. And I think that's what it's going to take. The whole nation is going to have to help us here.
Yes. So.
Well, we actually filled the time perfectly. How do you like that?
Okay.
So we don't have to talk about any of these things. We can save these for Casual Friday this week. Now, don't forget, the Secret Word Contest is going through this week, through Thursday, through Friday morning. And then this Friday, we announce the winner. And the prize is a Hot Logic Mini automatic portable oven, which is cooking my pound of ground beef right now along with my vegetables. So it's
man,
ready.
You love that thing.
I even cook with it at home because I think it's slow cooking is an amazing process. It makes the food taste better. But we're giving away that and the Real Paleo recipe cookbook, by Dr. Lauren Cordain. Those two things alone should impact your health, improve the status of strength and sleep and everything else if you use them the way they're supposed to be used. That's the prize this week. And all you have to do is listen during the commercial breaks and guess. So when you hear the secret word, email it to onair@superhumanradio.com. And you're entered, and Elisa Profumo will announce the name this Casual Friday, right?
Yes, this Friday we have a winner.
A winner, a winner, winner. What did Carla Dixon say? Winner, winner. I need something about dinner. Winner, winner. Feed me dinner, something like that. Anyway, okay, listen, thanks for bailing me out for this half hour.
Sure, and I'll reschedule Marion Nestle, and we'll have her back on next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And start working on your first two episodes of Superhuman Sisters, because we're going to get it produced within the next week. I promise you that. This is going to be so easy, and you're going to love it.
Okay.
And everybody's going to love it. I even think the guys are going to listen. The guys are going to listen to it because they're going to want to hear what the girls are talking about.
Well, and not only that, but there'll be subjects, you know, like things that guys can use as well, not just women.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, thanks for bailing me out, Elisa.
All right. All right,
talk to you later.
Bye, everyone.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the fact that there is zero safety assessments of GMOs, and we're still eating them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
At RUI-products.com, we offer the most accurately dosed high-quality peptides and research chemicals for all your laboratory needs. RUI-products.com is one of the oldest names in the business. Find out why the scientific community trusts RUI-products.com to provide the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SUPER15 and get 15% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best. RUI-products.com.
The secret word is ancestral. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Bluebird Botanicals sources only the highest quality CBD extracts from hemp. CBD is a non-psychoactive, all-natural constituent used to bolster general health. Bluebird Botanicals performs third-party testing, has invested in state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, delivers nationwide, and possesses industry-leading customer service. To get CBD delivered to your front door, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Bluebird Botanicals banner ad, and save 25% off with code SHR25. Bluebird Botanicals. setting the standard for CBD oil and extracts.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the NGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
If you ever wanted to get bigger, stronger, and leaner in record time, September is the month to let Rob Ragish and the Blueprint Army help you make it happen. If you're not gaining, there's a reason for it. Stop wasting your time and head on over to CoachRobRagish.com, where there exists a vault of training, diet, and supplement tricks like no other. Act now, because the door closes September 30th. Visit CoachRobRagish.com today to learn more.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do, with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Just bust the mold. Come on. Welcome back. Just bust the mold. You know, genetically modified foods have been discussed ad infinitum, but there's a lot of confusion out there quite often. The mainstream media promotes a position that these crops are similar to other crops, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. And of course, the Food and Drug Administration and the USDA say that there's no harm in eating these crops, but little at a time, more and more is being revealed. My next guest is Dr. Shiva Iyadura. How you doing, Dr. Iyadura?
Hello, Shiva here.
Hey, thank you for being here early today, too, by the way.
No problem.
We actually talked about your study a while ago about the difference in genetically modified soy, but I want to go into it a little deeper with you. But before I talk about that, something pretty significant happened. A mainstream international newspaper, the national newspaper of the country of India, the Hindu, actually picked up your story and published it. Isn't that correct?
Yes. They published not only the story, but more importantly, the facts of the real issues around GMOs. Not only of our research, but also, you know, I brought in three other very, very significant scientists. So this was the first story, not just by journalists writing it, not by shills for Monsanto, you know, who are paid, but these are by serious scientists who are really interested. They're not really on the pro or anti-GMO side, but they really want to get to the issues of safety and the issues of what's really going on with this matter.
So let's talk about the study first. For those who missed the show where we talked about it, you are a systems biologist, and this is a very complex type of science, is it not?
Well, it's actually not that complex. It's what science is really supposed to be about.
Huh.
So let me, if you want, I can explain
please,
to the viewers
please.
What systems bio. So you see, we live in a very interconnected world. So if you take the example of the blind men with the elephant, this is a typical example. You know, there's a story of the elephant, and there's several blind men, and they're asked to understand what this object is. So one guy's feeling the tail, one guy's feeling the trunk, one guy's feeling the skin, different pieces, and each person comes with a different conclusion of what that object is. Someone thinks it's a brush, someone thinks it's a leather handbag, etc., because they're looking at pieces of the whole. That is how biology has been conducted for the last 50 years, since the genomic discovery of DNA. It's called the reductionist model of biology, which means you look at the parts of a system, and then you come to conclusions. The problem with that is you may know the part really well, but it doesn't mean you know what's going on holistically. In 2003, after the Human Genome Project ended, and it found out, ironically, we're not our genes. You know, when we started the Genome Project, we thought what made a human being different than a worm was the number of genes. We thought that we had about 100,000 genes, and a worm had 20,000 genes. When the Genome Project ended in 2003, it turns out we have the same number of genes as a worm. So this completely blew the lid off reductionist biology, which said, we can't just be looking at genes, that's just one part. We got to look at other things, how molecules interact, the system, and holistically. So that's when I came back to MIT, and systems biology is a very new field. And it's an important field because it's enabling us to do discoveries by interconnecting the parts. That's systems biology in the world. It's about seeing the holistic thing in science by interconnecting the parts. That's systems biology, and a lot of the criticisms that came were from, frankly, people who are not really doing science. They're like blind guys. We're touching the parts.
Gotcha. Yeah, this makes perfect sense. And in fact, your final analysis of the difference between genetically modified soy and non-GM soy was the result of four different levels of research, right?
Exactly. So what we did is we did it very methodically. Now, the most important thing is, you know, unlike the disinformation some of these guys did, is this is not just a mathematical model. We went through initially 11,000, I think 200 some odd papers, scientific papers written in many journals all over the world. Those papers let us understand and, you know, organize 6,497 laboratory experiments. In those laboratory experiments, we extracted from those laboratory experiments important molecular mechanisms. Little pieces of the parts. Now, what were those molecular mechanisms? They were pieces of a very important large-scale system in all plants, all fungi, and in all bacteria called C1 metabolism. So that was paper one, which we published in Agricultural Sciences, essentially doing the systematic literature review. That's the first thing you do in science. The second paper we did was we organized those 6,497 experiments, those molecular little parts of the puzzle, we put it together, again, all from wet lab experiments, and we showed in the natural soy, normal soy without genetic modification, formaldehyde does get produced, but it gets detoxified. So you have varying levels, but it's the natural process that's detoxified. And another very important chemical called glutathione, which, frankly, everyone should be getting in their food, and we don't enough anymore. If you can, you should probably supplement your diet. But glutathione is a master antioxidant. It's like the detergent that cleans up all the crap in your body. Well, in plants, we notice that's always maintained at a beautiful level in the normal plant. That was paper number two published in the American Journal of Plant Sciences. The third paper, we showed what happens when a plant undergoes stress. Well, in the physical world, like a drought or a pollution or weather changes. And in that case, a plant actually uses up its glutathione to manage that stress, and formaldehyde goes up. But that's in, you know, conditions which occur normally in nature, you know, under certain conditions. They're not persistent. In the fourth paper, we found a whole set of papers, again from wet lab experiments, which showed that when people did the genetic modification, specifically for Roundup Ready soy, that when they did that modification, that it actually changed five molecules. Again, these are all documented in wet lab experiments. Five molecules were increased in levels. We took those levels and we plugged it into the research of paper 3, 2, and 1, which had already been published. And that's where we showed that from the genetic modification, the plant is thinking it's being stressed out, very similar to these normal natural conditions. The plant feels like it's being choked, and therefore it uses up its glutathione and formaldehyde accumulates. And at the end of that paper, we said, you know, in the natural order of science, you do research, you mine the data, you come up with predictions, and this is a cycle. We said, hey, this is a very important finding. We're ready to do further testing. But the problem is you can't even test because there's no standard. So we knew even if we went and got some soy and we did a test that these guys would attack us because there's no standard. So our paper said we need international standards to do testing even in experimental conditions. Every other industry has testing standards. It's amazing that in this field, where we're talking about food, there are no standards for testing. And that was the conclusion of paper four.
So now, is it also true that you cannot even obtain seeds? I found this shocking, that it actually could be illegal for you to obtain seeds and start doing this kind of testing, because the way the laws around the use of these patented seed types that Monsanto has precludes you from being able to actually do that kind of testing, right?
Yeah, so this again comes to the standards, you see?
Right, right.
So let's say you made an automobile today, okay? And or you made a medical device, or you made anything where it's human interaction. In every field, there's called testing standards. How you acquire the material, right? In what conditions you test it, how you publish the results. And those are very clearly defined standards in every other field. Everyone gets together on the pro or anti side, and they define these standards. So if you wanted to do this right, you should have a seed bank. So if I'm a company which wants to do biotechnology of new seeds, well, when they make the seed, they should by law be mandated to put that seed available for research for the international community. That's not done today. So I don't have to go beg someone. I don't have to do all this. Today, the way these seed manufacturers do it, they make you sign contracts. They have, you know, the fact that you can't re-engineer their stuff, under what conditions you can test. They put so much hurdles to it that it doesn't even let you follow normative procedures of science. So you're absolutely right. That's one piece, how you can get the seeds. What do you do with the seeds? And these are all very, very regulated by the owners of the seeds when you're talking about something that's going into the public.
Now, obviously, Monsanto is not going to cooperate with this stuff. How are you going to, I guess the world community is going to have to force this issue, because here in the United States, this is safe harbor for Monsanto. They can poison populations because they're part of the unhealthy connection between government and industry. But the world community is going to have to push for this, because it's not going to happen inside the U.S., right?
Definitely. So in February of 2016, I mean, look, I'm a U.S. citizen. I've been here since 40 years. I'm an immigrant. I came to this country in 1970. And America was always known to me, and what my parents taught me, is a land of freedom and openness and transparency. But I believe in the last 20, 30 years, things have significantly changed. Mm-hmm. And I am a scientist, and I went into science because science is about transparency and truth. What you've seen is it's not only, you know, government and industry. We're talking about academia. What Eisenhower and Senator Fulbright called the military academic industrial complex. We cannot forget the academic piece of here. You know, I've been at MIT for 33 years. I'm no longer a part of that institution, but I have 4 degrees from there. I can tell you that the academic collusion we live under, the academics are like the priesthood of the ancient times. They sort of are in the background.
Right.
And until an academic is thrown in jail, and until the same laws that we have for Wall Street traders for insider trading, I think we need those same laws for academics. Because academics have essentially become the right arm of these guys, and they are no longer doing really per se science. They can manipulate data, and we're living in the age of academic collusion. And what came out with Folta, who openly said he's the head of the horticultural department at the University of Florida, Gainesville, saying that he has no relationships with Monsanto, he doesn't get paid, and these emails coming out, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, because he was exposed as really being paid by Monsanto to spin things, wasn't he?
Not only was, yeah, I mean, he's cutting and pasting stuff back and forth between, I mean, this is not like an industry funding, you know, a researcher at MIT and Harvard to do research in a legitimate research. And this is way beyond that. This is about him actually being a front man for a company and working with their PR agency. So I actually found it valuable that the New York Times brought it up, but I also found it sort of, in some ways, deplorable that the New York Times tried to balance it by talking about an organic researcher. And, you know, the New York Times in many ways was caught with their pants down, because for the last 2 years, they were actually cutting and pasting the innuendos that Folta was putting out. So they had to do this article because the collusion was so egregious. And the New York Times did it, but they also tried to, quote-unquote, balance it. But the reality, there's no balancing here. What a guy like this was doing has nothing to do with, you know, corporate-funded research. It's more like corporate-funded research and being their media frontman.
Right, right, right. And you know what? And that's the problem with the mainstream media because, and we're going to talk about the journals in a second, the open-access journals, because I've had Dr. Stephanie Seneff on quite a few times. You know who she is. She's from MIT also.
I know Stephanie.
Yeah, she's going to be on later this week. They've obtained tens of thousands of sealed documents from Monsanto, and they're going to come out and talk about genetically modified foods later this week. But you know, open access is the way to go now. But they're trying to make that sound like it's really not valid. I want to take a break. I want to come back and talk about that.
Sure.
I want to talk about the media at the same time. This is an important discussion, folks, because for a long time people have stood behind this this wall saying, well, genetically modified foods, they're not inherently bad. And this research shows that they may be, and they need more research. More research. That is the prudent thing for this government to demand before they continue to poison populations. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Bluebird Botanicals sources only the highest quality CBD extracts from hemp. CBD is a non-psychoactive, all-natural constituent used to bolster general health. Bluebird Botanicals performs third-party testing, has invested in state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, delivers nationwide, and possesses industry-leading customer service. To get CBD delivered to your front door, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Bluebird Botanicals banner ad, and save 25% off with code SHR25. Bluebird Botanicals, setting the standard for CBD oil and extracts.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds, and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's
low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the NutriCafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one NutriCafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Check out my blog from Sunday. More damning information about statin drugs. Add to the list of dangers. It speeds the aging process. Causes cellular senescence to speed up while halting the differentiation of mesenchymal stem cells at the same time. Especially in bone and cartilage. Look, over a million hip and knee replacements a year. How many of those people are on statin drugs? Is that why their hips and knees are wearing out? You got to read my blog if you know anybody who's taking statin drugs. We're talking with Dr. Shiva Aradura. We're talking about the difference between genetically modified soy and non-genetically modified soy. There is a difference. Don't be fooled. Now, what that difference means isn't clear, but clearly there needs to be more research. So some of your detractors are going to say that this research was published in an open access journal. Is that because you could have never gotten this published in one of those other journals because of their biases and their, just like the mainstream media, they kowtow? They look at how many times people have had to retract their research when it was damning against Monsanto.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's look at the mainstream journals. Let's look at who they are, which, you know, I've been cited in and I've published in Nature, Cell, go down the list, you know, what they call the highest impact factor journals. You know, there are people whose entire career is based on getting published in Nature. You can get a tenure, you know, in a university. And there's scientists who, on their deathbed, say, I wish I could have been published in Nature. So some of these journals are known as, like, the premier journals. Randy Shekman, who is an eminent scientist who won the Nobel Prize for Medicine about a couple years ago, he wrote a very scathing article, and he's published heavily in Nature and Science, saying the collusion that takes place in those journals, because they're all about promoting their brand. And when you publish in those journals and you're actually asked to review in those journals, you make sure you're cited in there because you get tenure based on citations. The bottom line is Shekman, a Nobel Prize winner in medicine, wrote a scathing article talking about the collusion, and Randy said he'll never, ever publish in those journals again. All right, so when people talk about the eminent, reputed journals, here you have a Nobel Prize scientist saying that these so-called reputed journals are not that reputed, mm-hmm. based on how they sort of have it set up as a racket. In the last 10 to 15 years, there's been a growth of what they call open access journals, which means working scientists, not people who have a horse in the race who want to get cited because then they get tenure, are involved in the review process. You have a journal, you submit your paper, they send it out to other people to review, and then they're called open access, because the difference between open access and pay, and frankly, the pay for play is the other way around. In the old model of journals, you know, the audience, you or I, let's say there's an article, breakthrough research on cancer. You and I have to pay sometimes $20, $30, $100 to just download that paper. So the audience who could see that were only a few set of people. Not every individual even had access, because who's going to pay $100 to download one paper? That was, in my view, that's pay for play. What then happened was people said this is ridiculous because science is really meant to be for the people. This stuff is publicly funded research. So if I, as an institution, get funded, some of that cost should go into publishing it so the public gets that access for free. So that aspect is that there are journals which are open access. If I do research, part of my research funding is you pay them $2 or $3 grand, sometimes $100, $500, they vary. But that only occurs after your paper's been accepted, after it's been reviewed, and then you get published. And major journals are going, MIT and Harvard, now accept open access journals, and they in fact support it because it brings down the cost of accessing those journals. So open access is the future, and that's where it's to go. Now, when we publish our papers, I have not published in the agricultural industry. I'm a systems biologist, typically published in the biomedical sciences. We looked around, we saw, where are these other guys publishing, you know? We saw Monsanto and USDA publish in agricultural sciences. We saw many of the people from University of Florida, Gainesville, other major agricultural universities publish in the American Journal of Plant Sciences. That's where we went and published. And so these journals, Monsanto and USDA have published in there. So when we publish our articles, one of the detractors said, oh, these are bogus journals, they're pay for play. When it's actually total disinformation.
It offers greater transparency. First of all, they're peer-reviewed, first of all, number one. But more importantly, it offers greater transparency. When 20,000 people can download and look at a study instead of 1,000, you're talking about greater transparency of the science.
Great. And the other interesting thing is, I don't know if many people know, Einstein never hated peer review. Let's talk about peer review. It seemed to be as though some people blessed it. Peer review was a way to control what reached the masses.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? So they put peer review under this gorgeous term, major universities, as though it's something that we should all, think is great. Einstein said, wait a minute, if I do innovative research, who are my peers to judge that it's innovative? Because many of them may have jealousies.
Right.
Many of them may not want my research to come out.
Many of them may not
One
even this, understand it. Otherwise, they would have come up
with
themselves.
May not even understand it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the concept of peer review goes against innovative research. So out of the hundreds of papers Einstein did, one of his papers that he sent for physical letters, they said they wanted a peer review. He said, screw off, I'll go publish it elsewhere. So peer review was really set up by what I call the priesthood to control what they deem as legitimate research and what they deem as illegitimate research. My reality is if publicly funded monies went into research or people want to publish their research, it should go open and let the public decide.
Yes.
What happens? There's an assumption that people are stupid and that only a few people can decide what's good research and what's bad research.
I love you. One of the things I've been saying for 10 years is that the government thinks that people are too stupid to care for themselves, and that's why they feel like they always have to intervene and tell people how to eat and how to raise children, all this other stuff. And people are quite intelligent enough to run their own lives if you let them do it on their own. And I love this. The reality is,
yeah,
we're not going to get...
I'm
sorry?
Yeah. I mean, a friend of mine, just as an aside, he was the head of Booz Allen in Egypt. When the revolution hit in Egypt, people thought there was going to be chaos. People were going to kill each other. He said that when there was no military rule, when it was in the so-called chaos mode, ordinary people in their neighborhoods organized. They made sure the trash was taken out. They did local militias, local police force. He said, Shiva, things ran better than I'd ever been in Egypt for 20 years. So there's this assumption that people are stupid, that we don't have families, that we don't care, that we're going to do stupid things for ourselves. And based on this assumption, this control model gets created, and in science this has occurred. And it's occurred to such a level now that scientists are essentially paid to do research to give certain results.
Oh, we know that. That's why I want to see all research released, not just the stuff that they follow through with that they feel like that they want to submit. There's a lot of research that doesn't get released because they don't reach the endpoints that they want. That's the scary part, the stuff that's going on that could actually shed light on the dangers of some of this stuff. But what I want to do is I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about this notion that people naively refer to, that the FDA has somehow approved or even tested genetically modified foods and that there's nothing to worry about, because this is a great misassumption that the average person in America is under. And I want to talk about that when we come back. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's not even a misconception. It's actual brainwashing that's been done. It's more than just a misconception. It's basically they confused everyone in the country, including these journalists, that the FDA somehow has approved and allowed GMOs.
Yes.
The FDA has taken no position on GMOs.
Yes, and let's talk about that when we come back. Sit tight. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in 2 great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
The secret word is ancestral. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the NGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
If you ever wanted to get bigger, stronger, and leaner in record time, September is the month to let Rob Ragish and the Blueprint Army help you make it happen. If you're not gaining, there's a reason for it. Stop wasting your time and head on over to CoachRobRagish.com, where there exists a vault of training, diet, and supplement tricks like no other. Act now, because the door closes September 30th. Visit CoachRobRagish.com today to learn more.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Shiva Aradhoya. And I'm surprised. I'm sorry. I'm mispronouncing your name. It's Aradhoya, right?
Well, the way to say it is Aradhoya. Like I adore you.
Oh, I adore you. I adore you, and I do adore you for what you're doing. I got to be honest with you because a lot of people are under the assumption that the Food and Drug Administration or the USDA have somehow tested, and they know that this stuff is safe. And all those countries out there that don't want to accept our genetically modified corn and soy are just being politically obstinate, and they want to hurt the United States because this stuff is safe. If it wasn't safe, the FDA wouldn't allow people to eat it. That's not true at all, is it?
No, it isn't. Look, you know, starting in the 90s, there were international standards set up for safety, you know, at a very high level where they define what is, first of all, what is genetically engineered food. And that was food that is made essentially in vitro, in a test tube, asexually, or genetic engineering of food, or what they call genetic modification in Europe, which was defined at the international level, or things that are made in a test tube that are modified by perturbing, you know, the DNA, right? So that's what was defined. And that definition of genetic modification was misused in the United States very cleverly, where they started saying, oh, genetic modification also includes natural plant breeding, right? Because right now our genes are being modified, as you and I are talking, by our thoughts, what we eat. So genetic modification, the word genetic and modification in double quotes, is occurring all the time. But it was very clearly defined that genetic modification meant genetic engineering of food by, you know, changing the DNA nucleic acid. So in the U.S., people started confusing everyone on purpose to say, oh, genetic engineering is part of natural plant breeding, right, and now what we're doing is just one, you know, advance of that. In fact, very stupid journalists at the New York Times repeated this stuff. It was amazing. But genetic engineering, so GE of foods related to genetic modification, was very specifically defined. Now, part of that definition was some levels of safety. In the United States, you and I could start a biotech company, literally tomorrow, and let's say we start genetically engineering a new type of, I don't know, sunflower seed, if we wanted to. And we want to get, quote-unquote, approval to start using that and selling those seeds. What we do is you and I, in our own lab, conduct our own studies, and we just report through our own studies that that genetically engineered sunflower seed is no different than the normal sunflower seed. We can create whatever data we want, and the FDA does what's called a safety consultation. This is all they do, and I want everyone to hear this. That's all they do, and they just send you out a form letter, and there are hundreds of these form letters which basically say, it's in that article that's in the Hindu, and in fact you can find it on the FDA site, which basically says, we acknowledge that we got your safety reports, and we're acknowledging that you've done the reporting, the self-reporting. That's all it says, okay? The FDA is not putting their seal of approval and saying, yes, this new sunflower seed or this new soybean is great. We've tested it. We've done lab tests. All they say is we just simply acknowledge that you say you did this, and that's it. And that's called a safety consultation letter. And there's hundreds of these letters right now. I think last time I checked, it was about 101. That's what you get. It has nothing to do with safety. So anyone listening to this, it's absolutely bogus to think that the FDA is allowing genetic, they've not taken a position on it. They've been very, you know, clever in some ways to say, well, we don't take a position on genetically modified foods, except we do these safety consultations under a guideline where you as a manufacturer telling us there's no material difference. That's it.
And they've been lied to before 1,000 times by drug and food manufacturers. So this is tantamount to the fox telling the farmer, I've been watching the hen house. Everything is cool. You don't have to go out there and check it. Take my word for it. And we know.
Right. And exactly. And in that case, the farmers like the FDA,
yeah,
believing the fox.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But do you think that I can't, you know, the FDA is very smart. They are not stupid. I would expect an agency whose job is to be the firewall between industry and people, food and drug industry and people, to have a brain trust of scientists who go and reproduce, because we know reproducibility is all part of the stringent steps, the rigors of science, you would think that they would try to reproduce this research and go, yeah, we got the same results, so you guys are right, instead of just rubber stamping it. So I have to think they're not stupid. This is all about plausible deniability. Well, we just didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think someone else should go do the research on them. And as a scientist, I can tell you that the FDA is not doing any allergenicity studies, any of that. They simply get, you know, what you, the report that, you know, the, you submit to them. In fact, the letter actually says, quote unquote, this is an extract out of it, based on the safety and nutritional assessment, let's say you're the company, has conducted, it is our understanding that the company has concluded that food and feed from GM product are not materially different in safety, nutrition, composition. It is the company's continuing responsibility to ensure that food marketed by the firm are safe, wholesome, and otherwise in compliance with all applicable legal regulatory requirements. They basically just do a consultation and they bless it to the extent that the self-reporting results were correct. That's all.
Yeah, this is scary. And people are eating this stuff. And, you know, the reality is that it's just really in the United States, because abroad, more and more countries are hopping on the bandwagon of banning genetically modified foods for their population. So this is really just affecting the United States to the greatest degree. So with that being said, what's the next? Okay, so now, have you been contacted by anybody inside the United States to go, wow, this is really interesting stuff, I guess we need to start doing research?
Well, you know, when we did this, I reached out to the New York Times, because a friend of mine has written there, talked to a writer who has written about this, and she was equating this to plant breeding. And I shared this, and she goes, you know, I don't really know about GMOs. And here's a woman who had written an article for the New York Times about GMOs, saying that they're the same. NPR contacted us, or actually not NPR, a group of NPR,
right.
WBEZ in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Chicago,
They did the entire interview. Monica Ang did it, completed it, and then it was about to go live. It went to a producer, and he said, he had some questions. Wait a minute, who is this guy? He says he invented email, which, by the way, I did invent email as a 14-year-old boy, and that's a whole other story we could do.
Really?
But, yes, when I was 1978 as a 14-year-old kid, I was working in the medical school, inbox, outbox folders. I called it email. I, in fact, hold the first U.S. copyright on the invention of email. So I've been a scientist and inventor all my life. So NPR or WBEZ got concerned about that, and they sort of held the story. So I'm still in communication with them. The fact is that if you look at something like the Washington Post, which is owned, by the way, by Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon.
Right.
I don't know if people know this, right? So here you have, and Washington Post also owns Slate. 2 weeks before the Pompeo bill came out, you have the Slate writing an idiotic article attacking, saying we don't need labeling, written by a guy who's not a scientist. And so the Slate is owned by the Post, and we know a lot of the stuff, you know, Amazon sells online are GMO products. So you have to look at this collusion here. So the point is, why isn't the Washington Post carrying this? Meanwhile, they've given Folta's research, his arguments, right, front and center. And in fact, if you read the Slate article, it's all based on the supposition that the FDA has allowed all these things, that they are safe.
Right.
So the whole basis of it is pure disinformation. You know, I was in India for about 2 months, and I held a debate there at the National Institute of Agriculture where I moderated among PhD students, you know, pro and anti. And in fact, in that environment, they came to at least a minimum conclusion that there's not enough data that's conclusive to say that these are safe.
Right.
And that's what the scientific community of India, in fact, the Supreme Court created the expert council, and in their multi-100-page report, they said India should not adopt GMOs, that it should take another year, 10 years of safety assessment. So any prudent scientist knows this. I think the real issue here is really not Monsanto per se, because that's really not the problem. The issue is that you have scientists who are supposed to do the noble duty of telling the truth, and they're essentially paid to do their work. And there is no independent science being done in this country on a large level anymore, because the fact is you can influence the outcome. And I think just like we went after Wall Street traders, we as a community need to start looking at scientists, and that we need much more stringent laws in how they publish, what they publish, and who funds them, and the disclosures that they take place. Even at a place like MIT, you have to fill out what's called conflict of interest form.
Right.
Doesn't mean you can't do conflicted research. You basically say, yeah, I sit on the board of these companies, blah, 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 but I can still do the research. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
The conflict of interest, there's really no, you just have to disclose that you're getting paid by other companies.
Right, right.
But it doesn't restrict anyone from doing that kind of research.
But ultimately, who are they doing the research for? I do think it's Monsanto. I think, look, I know a guy.
I know a guy
who did a paper on soy while he was in school, and then he went to work for Soya, the company that the largest producer of soy products. So these scientists, they're smart. They go, oh, if I do research pro this, I'm going to get into this big environment where I'm going to get paid big bucks. So it's almost
right.
Like, you know, in New York, if when the mafia was still popular in New York and you wanted to get in, you did something that you weren't asked to do, and they go, oh, you're a good guy, come on in, we're going to let you in now, you know? So
right, we need to move to a model of open science.
Yes.
Where the standards for how you did that research are open, the data is made available to the public, especially if it's publicly funded, so anyone can replicate.
That's the key.
Information. We're going to put all of our stuff, you know, we haven't announced this broadly, but we're going to take our entire infrastructure, we're creating a portal, we're going to give it all the way to the public online. Anyone can come in and see all the papers we got our data from, where we got it, where the conclusions. They can, in fact, rerun the in silico experiments right online. And then we want to go to our detractors and say, look, if you have other data, give it to us. We'll put it into the system and rerun it. So that's the way science needs to move to, because it's too dangerous to let a small set of people in a small set of institutions determine what outcomes are.
And this is what I think is the most important part of all this. And that is that ultimately industry genuflects to the dollar. The consumer makes the decision. As soon as consumers say, we don't want this, and stuff sits on shelves and goes bad, then industry goes, we got to get it out because the consumer doesn't want it. And ultimately, we have the power. The power is in the base of the pyramid, not at the tip of the pyramid. The power is in the people's hands. But demystifying and debunking the science is the real issue. I want to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I want to ask you what people need to do next, because we need to get this information out there so that if even the non-believers at least have to question their belief system before they move forward. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today. Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you want to take tennis lessons? You don't have to wear white or join a country club anymore. Play Your Court sends top-rated instructors to your local court so you can take tennis lessons right in your neighborhood. Visit playyourcourt.com/superhuman to choose an instructor near you and receive $10 off your first lesson or lesson package. If you have questions, call 301-575-6112 and be sure to mention Superhuman Radio to receive your first lesson discount. playyourcourt.com. Finally, a better way to take tennis lessons.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Shiva Iyadure. We're talking about genetically modified foods, most specifically soy. This is just the tip of the iceberg, I predict. Years from now, we're going to look back. I'm talking about 100 years from now. We're going to look at this as part of the probably the darkest time in agriculture and food dissemination, because these crops are they infest, they overtake, they cross-pollinate, and the fact that we've turned them loose on this planet is going to come back to haunt us someday. This is not a good thing. We don't know what we're fooling with. You know, when I grew up in Brooklyn, we used to have these cellar doors outside the little shops, and I always walked around them because there was a good chance they were sturdy enough to hold me, but there was a good chance they weren't, and I like to err on the side of caution. And I think we should be erring on the side of caution like other countries, instead of being forced to eat this stuff, not knowing that we're eating it. And it's time for people to stand up and do something about it. You don't have to wait for labeling. What you need to do is you need to stop buying foods that potentially have some of the most progressive genetic modified crops in them, and look for foods that say non-GMO, or that part of there's a new non-GMO organization out there that's now labeling foods. Look for those foods where people are going out of their way to tell you that they're not genetically modified. Give them your dollars, because then what happens is these other manufacturers go, oh man, if we're not selling product, who cares how profitable it is to make this stuff? So isn't that really where the root of this action is? And we're never going to get this government to do the right thing. I've said often that separating this government from industry is like separating two conjoined twins that share a heart. One of them is going to have to die, and neither one of them want to do that.
Well, I think if you look at this, right, let's just go back to, I think it was early 1960 when Eisenhower was leaving office. Now, here's a guy who was a general, part of the military engine, and when he gave his farewell address, he warned Americans and the world about what he called the military-industrial complex. In the 1970s, another very great senator, Senator Fulbright, he used the word military-industrial-academic complex. Mm. This triangle, military, so if you take a triangle, on one vertex put military, industry, and academic. And the narrative that Americans have been brainwashed is that all great innovations come out of the military, industrial, academic complex, okay? And we should be thankful that we as citizens should be very happy that when we fund wars, wherever it is, and go kill innocent people, that out of that you should be lucky, because you're going to get some innovations out of it, right? You're going to get scratch-resistant visors, right, for your sunglasses. You're going to get GPS. et cetera. And based on this narrative, we've all been bamboozled to give our tax dollars to governments and that military-industrial academic complex. Again, this is from a Republican senator who coined this term and warned us. This is not from some liberals who are trying to create a conspiracy theory.
Right.
And it's a very real thing. And so, first of all of us need to understand that that engine was created to confuse us, that we should be thankful for innovations. But as an aside, you know, the fact that email was invented in Newark, New Jersey by a dark-skinned, low-caste Indian boy blows that narrative away. So that's when my stuff went to the Smithsonian on February 16, 2012. It created all this quote-unquote controversy, when there frankly is no controversy. It's black and white, because they had written a story that Raytheon and the military invented email when they didn't. They created some rudimentary form of text messaging. I called it email and it created. But the deeper issue was that I was exposing that great innovations do not come out of that triangle. In fact, TV was invented by a 14-year-old boy. In fact, great agrarian systems were not invented by Monsanto, not by pesticides, but they were created by ordinary people over 5,000 years who learned how to mix, you know, different crops together. They learned how to do crop cover. They never needed all these pesticides. So, but if you look at the history of innovation, it goes like this, that, you know, the large, many of these companies used, in fact, Monsanto, one of their origins is they used to drop Agent Orange, if I'm right.
Right.
On, to kill the Vietnamese.
Well, and no, then, they it was a defoliating agent. The
defoliating.
Yeah, the 2,4-D right, is now finding its way back into our food supply now.
Right, but if you look at the origin of so-called great innovations, in fact, the modern healthcare system, it came out of war, the Crimea War, when Florence Nightingale, who was not just a nurse, was looking at how do you create the modern healthcare system, was how do you put a soldier back on the field? So antibiotics, surgery, steroids, all came out of that quote-unquote modern healthcare system. So that system is good after a crisis takes place. So step one, this military-industrial complex creates something for war. Step two, they then try to recirculate it as a norm for civilian use. And step three is they also have to put down any indigenous systems that were done. My grandparents were farmers in India who never used pesticides, and they grew very great crops, but they use indigenous systems of farming. So you have to put that down. You have to put down Siddha, Ayurveda, the Chinese medicine, because those are coming from indigenous cultures. So what you have is you have this very deliberate effect, essentially to convince American people that we should go fight wars because they're going to get some good stuff out of it, when it's absolutely not true. So I think the biggest thing that needs to occur is we as people, very sane people, need to recognize that we're just pawns, and governments are frankly pawns. Governments are essentially mid-level managers for much larger institution, which is essentially to manipulate people to think that we need war, and based on war, you're going to get innovation. This may seem like a really weird thing, but that's where all of this is coming from. Mm-hmm. Most of the genetic engineering initial usage was for biological warfare, and then resuscitating that into GMOs. When, you know, India has enough arable land, you know, Africa has enough arable land, you know, there's no need for GMOs as a part of that. So basically all these narratives are spun by a bunch of 20, 25-year-olds old sitting in PR agencies who then report to some other 45-year-old who's got his bonus check to hit. That's where all of this is coming out of. And we as people need to recognize that you need to turn off the TV. All these major news stations are actually bought, and they're basically puppets of large institutions. And most scientists, unless they're telling the truth public and are willing to share it, they also have to be questioned. So right now, when it comes to GMOs and the safety of food, it's deplorable that the United States has 94% soy. You know, 94% of the soy is GMOs.
Right.
You know, over 90% of the corn is GMOs. And none of this was tested. Even a drug company has to do at least, takes 15 years for them to bring something out to trial, and it's fully, relatively transparent. You have clinicaltrials.gov, you know, where you can see the research. But when it comes to the food supply, the fact that this has occurred is deplorable. I believe some people should be going to jail,
yes.
Be it science.
Yes.
So that's what needs to happen, and I think...
I got to tell you the truth.
This is not a right-wing issue. This is not a left-wing issue. This is not a pro issue. This is about basically the foundations of truth and freedom, which is what this country was supposedly built on. So we need a revolutionary movement in this country which recognizes that we need to bring back people's power to local institutions, local farms at all local levels. And that we can no longer trust these. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. I mean, I was asked, for the New York Times asked me to talk about her email issue. And the fact that the Clintons had a server in their own home, and they're taking State Department email and managing it, and they did it cleverly knowing that they wanted to control what they would give.
Right.
And the fact that Hillary Clinton is not in jail and is not being indicted pretty much says it all.
Yes.
That they can get away with this kind of stuff. I mean, if you and I were handling government emails on our private server, we'd be in jail immediately.
Well, forget about it. If I had a company that made 100 people sick, I would go to jail. But every day, pharmaceutical companies have drugs that are taken the way they're prescribed, and they kill people. I mean, it's, you know what? And I'm with you. People need to go to jail. And from the FDA, people need to go to jail. From the companies that manufacture these products, that hide the real research, that are doing these, people need to go to jail. And it's, and until that happens, I don't see it changing, because you, people feel like, we made $6 billion, we had to give three back, so we made $3 billion. It's okay. You know, fines and all that stuff. Fines don't do it. Taking people out of society, putting them in a prison for 6, 10, 12, 15, 20 years, that changes the decision-making policies at companies real quick.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about a guy like Folta, what he did, he was a public official. You know, public officials go to jail for corruption. What he did was on the level of corruption, and this needs to be investigated very, very seriously of what he's done. And it should send a message to all. Academics think that they can hide behind their big institutions, behind their PhDs, write whatever they want, and get away with it. And they abuse the trust of the masses. And I think that this is where the heart of it is. I mean, you know, look, presidents come and go, but Kissingers and Brzezinskis are always there.
Right, right.
So it's these guys who sort of sit around in the back rooms and write whatever they want, create narratives, create false histories, create false data that get to continue. And I think the American people need to recognize that they are smart. They are very smart. You know, they don't need intellectuals like myself or other people telling them what's right. They need to follow their gut instincts. And, you know, the fact that food is being modified in this country and it didn't go through testing pretty much says it all. And the FDA does not do testing on this. Forget whether we like them or not, but they have never claimed they do testing. This has all been spun in the media. It's all spinning of the media. And the other piece is people need to recognize that these people in power have gotten so clever. They think, like you said, they can, we'll do this and then we'll say sorry. We'll do this and we'll pay a fine. We'll do this and I'll spin the media. And then I'll, sort of get away with it. And that's how good they've gotten. They're like gangsters.
Okay, I want to close the interview on this important distinction. So it's clear that genetically modified soy accumulates a great deal more formaldehyde than non-genetically modified soy. At the minimum, at the least, your research shows that more testing should be done. We should not just assume that.
Our research was, in fact, if you look at it, we asked a question. We didn't even say, we said, does GMOs perturb, disrupt molecular system? And we looked at 6,497 experiments. We integrated them, and we're finding is there is a perturbation. And every time you do, look, here's the scientific method. You do an experiment. You come with results. You publish your results, and that motivates people to do more. And over time, you come to a consensus. What we're saying is, we've looked at 6,000 experiments, and our consensus from those experiments is that there's a serious difference between GM soy and non-GM soy, and that we need to now really go do more experiments, but we need standards for that. At minimum, we're saying that. And that was the goal of our research. We asked a question. That's what science is. There's always uncertainty. Are we right? We could be right. Are we wrong? We could be wrong. But the reality is we're definitely showing out of those 6,497 experiments there is a difference, and we need to now do more research. That in itself says this stuff shouldn't be already approved.
Right.
It shouldn't be allowed because our stuff is showing such a big difference.
I love it. This is great.
Bottom line, you know, there is no safety assessment of GMOs. You know, again, I'll repeat it. There is no safety assessment of GMOs in the United States.
Yeah.
At all. And the FDA has acknowledged it. You know, our research has acknowledged it. You know, the article that came out in The Hindu has acknowledged it. Who hasn't acknowledged it is big American media. And that's what's disgusting.
You're not going to get it. We're not going to get it because, like you said before, it's the truth. They're bought and paid for. They're not going to pee in their own Cheerios and hurt relationships that they have. I mean, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars hinged on this one thing. That's why educating people, making just the way when RBGH came out in milk and everybody picketed, Monsanto right. sold that division. They said, get rid of it. It's going to be a loser. Get rid of it. Get the RBGH out of dairy. Boom. People have the ability to change this. It's in our ability. It's within our grasp to change this. But you got to get everybody to be reading from the same page, from the same hymn book that says, look, the truth of the matter is no one knows if this stuff is safe, so we prefer to err on the side of caution, get it out of our food now until you guys can figure it out. Once you do the 10-year research, 15-year research, and it turns out good, sure, then reintroduce it. Until then, we don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, there's research now coming out of India showing that GM crops actually also require more water. So this is going to be significant, particularly where we're headed, you know, for California. Most people don't know California produces 50% of the U.S.'s agriculture.
Right.
And California has serious water issues.
Right.
So
right.
if you're planting GM crops and they're requiring more water, you're shooting yourself in the head. So that's the next area we're looking at.
Well, and the yield, and we've done these shows already. The yield of GM crops is marginal. But the cost is so much more because you have to use more chemicals, you have to buy your seeds every year. So it's really, it's not more profitable for farmers to grow GM crops either. So the whole thing is built on a pile of lies, the whole thing. It's
right.
all about selling this product. And it's very, very sad. Listen, I have to thank you for two things. Number one, I have to thank you for coming on the air early. I kind of surprised you because we lost a guest and we had no time, no opportunity to fill that slot. So thank you for that. And also for this research. And I want you to come on anytime you want to come on, anytime you want to get news out. When the portal is built, I want you to let me know. We will disseminate it using social media and our audience, and we'll get the word out, because this is what's going to change the tide here is people making decisions that impact industry. It's not going to be governments protecting us. It's not the FDA becoming honest overnight. It's none of that stuff. So, thank
you. Yeah, it's about each. Yeah, I think it's ultimately about each person getting educated and, you know, recognizing that what they put in their mouth is something that they uniquely can control. It's one of the few things we have the right to control left in this country.
I agree.
So,
thank you for being on the show today.
Do. Okay, be well. Thank you.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable discussion. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Randy Roach to talk about Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors Volume 3. It's finally coming, folks. For those of us who've been waiting for it for years now, it's on its way. And we're going to tell you how to get a free chapter. Stay tuned.
Uber Botanicals sources only the highest quality CBD extracts from hemp. CBD is a non-psychoactive, all-natural constituent used to bolster general health. Bluebird Botanicals performs third-party testing, has invested in state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment, delivers nationwide, and possesses industry-leading customer service. To get CBD delivered to your front door, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Bluebird Botanicals banner ad, and save 25% off with code SHR25. Bluebird Botanicals, setting the standard for CBD oil and extracts.
At RUI-products.com, we offer the most accurately dosed high-quality peptides and research chemicals for all your laboratory needs. RUI-products.com is one of the oldest names in the business. Find out why the scientific community trusts RUI-products.com to provide the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SUPER15 and get 15% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best. RUI-products.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/
C-A-R-B-G-U-I-D-E. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The secret word is ancestral. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Say hello to the man who single-handedly changed this radio show. From its early beginnings in 2005, I would say that Randy Roach had the greatest impact on the direction of this radio show and where it is today, quite frankly. I learned about nutritional origins that found their place in physical culture that we still see working today because of Randy Roach's writings in Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors Volume 1 and Volume 2. How you doing, Randy?
Doing very well today, Carl. Thanks.
And many of us have been waiting, and we've been waiting patiently because you can't rush a project like this. It's never been done before. What Randy Roach has done in the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors series is tantamount to, if there was a course on physical culture taught in college, these would be the books. Just the way American history is taught using history books, Randy Roach is taking put together a chronological sequence of the origins of physical culture dating back to as early as recorded history provided information and moving it all the way forward. And Volume 3 now starts to embark on the years that many of us have been waiting for, and that is the 80s, right?
Yeah, the first book is primarily 1980 and 81, and the years that are relative to those two comebacks of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Franco Colombo.
This is really exciting. So Volume 3 is actually going to be done in several books, huh?
Yeah, because I had burnt out on the first two. I wasn't even going to do Volume 3, and then I found I could do it if I did it in smaller projects, because the big projects are crazy. They take so long And I have no idea when how long they're going to take to finish. And I keep promising people that they're going to be done this time, and that time passes by, and they're not finished. So I thought it was when Tomas, he's my partner on this third volume. He's very technically oriented and helps me out many ways there. We're about to re-release volume one and two in e-books, and we're going to do them in smaller versions, and that's when it hit me that I could do a better job and less stress if I just release volume three and four books or whatever it takes. But it's looking like four books, and that way I get one out. You know, if I'm already working on the third and fourth and haven't released the first one, that information sits there for years, right? So this way I can get them out as I get through them. So.
Well, so just to put this into perspective, you released volume two when?
Volume two was in November of 2011.
Think about that. So here we are embarking at the end of 2015, and you really had to take some time off. This was because Volume 1 and Volume 2 consumed all of your time for years.
Yeah, since 2002. And at the conclusion of 2011, I thought I'd just carry it right over into 2012 and finish right into Volume 3. And about the springtime, that's when I burnt out. And I said, I need to take a break. And then some things were coming across, I might not even bother, but then I changed my mind. A lot of people were very encouraging to continue it on, and so I didn't really do much. Actually, the truth is I didn't do anything on it for 2 years.
So,
and then
when you got back into writing this, now it's interesting because these are really the years that Volume 1 and Volume 2 build up. It's almost like the crescendo. These are the years that everybody's been waiting for. Arnold is on the scene, Franco, that the years in the 80s in Muscle Beach and how it all exploded, that really is what people have been waiting for, right?
Yeah, these are the years that can probably get me sued.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, the safest book was the first one. I had actually started the prologue for this first book 8 years ago. You know, because it was just a chapter of the 80s at that time, and then the book proliferated and things got changed and stuff. But I had so much material already drafted. Like this, the next book, you know, with the women chapters, I already had that drafted several years ago. That's why it is a little easier doing this one, at least the first couple books and part of the third, because I had so much of it drafted. It was supposed to be part of volume two. But Arthur Jones took up more room than I had planned.
And rightfully so. He deserved it. In fact, I met a guy not too long ago. Who did I meet? That told me the story that he was on the Phil Donahue show. I met somebody recently, and it's going to come back to me, who met Arthur Jones backstage at the Phil Donahue show. And they got into a fist fight in the back of the backstage of the Phil Donahue show because he was there, I guess, talking about his exploits as bringing wild animals into the United States. And this guy was there for some other reason. And I said, I remember reading that in Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors.
I didn't write about any fist fights with Arthur Jones on the Phil Donahue show. I've never heard of that until you just told me.
I got to get the story for you then. I got to figure out who this guy, I was at a party and this guy was telling me about this. And I said, I could have sworn I heard that story from Randy Roach. But We'll get to the bottom of that one. I'll get you.
Yeah, I like to hear about that one too, because I think if it was true, we'd be able to get to Phil Donahue on YouTube, at least the episode that he was on. And I've not heard anything about that from Kim Wood or Darden or all the guys I spoke to, Jim Flanagan. I think they might have mentioned that along the lines.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd be curious if you find out more about that.
But it does fit his persona. I mean, to get into a fist fight with somebody about something, because he was really. He was really a rogue of sorts, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he would threaten a lot of people. As to whether he actually I do know that he got into a couple altercations with some people, but a lot of the time he would threaten. He had that mercenary background, that I do believe, and right. I actually do believe he was connected to the intelligence community in some manner, but the way he operated. But yeah, he took a lot of books, a lot of that material that was supposed to be in volume two, the women in the 1980s got bumped to these four books of volume three.
So what will people learn in this particular volume, this first portion of volume three?
I write about that, the time you've been emphasizing, that period of time when bodybuilding was coming to be in Western culture, mainstream media. It had built up in the 70s, I'd say starting with the works of Butler and Gaines, and the Weeders were doing their promotion, and Arnold, but pumping iron, and then George Butler had managed to get the Whitney Museum and to get Arnold, Frank, and Ed Corney posing in a very elite situation, followed by the movie Pumping Iron, and then Kent Sprague's huge Mr. America's Parade in 77. This is really boosting bodybuilding up into the mainstream. Frank Zane, I thought, my opinion, was a marquee champion at that time. And CBS, all the major networks were now buying into bodybuilding in terms of competitive bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. Now, the resistance training and that was already being accepted into strength coaching, but competitive bodybuilding was having a tougher time of it. And I think everything was in line for it. And the question these books answer, did Arnold and Franco derail that by coming back and competing out of their era and disrupting it, and what had happened? And I got a lot of information, background information, especially in Australia. I was able to connect with a number of guys who were there and even involved in the judging, and to see, you know, just what happened and what potential damage was done by these two Mr. Olympias.
But wait a minute. Most people within bodybuilding would say that Arnold is the one who catapulted bodybuilding into the mainstream. You're saying that he may have actually derailed it?
Competitive bodybuilding on the mainstream may have been derailed in 1980. Arnold was significant in elevating the status of bodybuilding through the 1970s, especially with the help of Butler and Gaines. The pumping iron vehicle gave him a lot. But the sport of competitive bodybuilding was still being frowned on. Like I mentioned, Frank Zane, well, that was a marquee champion because he had Hollywood good looks. He had a physique that wasn't overwhelming. He wasn't as brazen as Arnold was. And CBS, like I said, they were all, CBS opened ABC in 1979 to film the Mr. Olympia. And then when Arnold came back, there was so much controversy in 1980 in Australia, and even more in 1981, that the network coverage was totally compromised.
Wow. I mean, this is an example, folks. This is an example of the stuff that Randy writes. Randy searches for the truth, whether you like it or not, because this is the only thing that's worth recording in history is the truth. Not somebody's truth, but the actual truth. This is explosive. This is mind blowing. I mean,
it's not a headhunting for Arnold either. It asks the question, why did he come back? And people are going to have to read to find out why he came back. There's all sorts of reasons, speculations as to why he came back. Some of them don't make any sense. But the sport, it did lose its coverage for a few years. And there was tremendous amount. You and I were old enough to remember those Mr. Olympias when they happened, right? And there was a lot of controversy following those shows and people screaming fix. You know, Arnold never had to deal with that before. He had never, you know, he got a very controversial decision in 1972 with Sergio, where, you know, Arnold himself later even said Sergio probably should have won. But this was the first time I think Arnold was booed. He was booed, and that was new to him. And the booing was even worse the next year in 1981. And I got, even in 1981, I have a lot of information that has not been written before, things that were seen and things that went down. So it sets up the 1980s, right? Like, if you read the prologue, did you get a chance to read it?
No, not yet. But here's what I wanted to, and on that note, I want to tell people. So right now, if you go to my blog, if you go to the front page of Superhuman Radio on the right-hand side, you'll see a blog post from me. It says, From the Desk of Randy Roach. If you click that link, you'll be transported to a page where you can click a link and get the prologue. You can actually get, what is it, tantamount to a free chapter of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 3, Book 1, which will discuss what we're talking about right here. And I think it's, and I think it's really, really important to set up what this Volume 3 is going to be all about. Let's do this, Randy. I want to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about this. Just sit tight, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
For the
the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you want to take tennis lessons? You don't have to wear white or join a country club anymore. Play Your Court sends top-rated instructors to your local court so you can take tennis lessons right in your neighborhood. Visit playyourcourt.com/superhuman to choose an instructor near you and receive $10 off your first lesson or lesson package. If you have questions, call 301-575-6112 and be sure to mention Superhuman Radio to receive your first lesson discount. playyourcourt.com. Finally, a better way to take tennis lessons.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The secret word is ancestral. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in 2 great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
If you ever wanted to get bigger, stronger, and leaner in record time, September is the month to let Rob Ragish and the Blueprint Army help you make it happen. If you're not gaining, there's a reason for it. Stop wasting your time and head on over to CoachRobRagish.com, where there exists a vault of training, diet, and supplement tricks like no other. Act now, because the door closes September 30th. Visit CoachRobRagish.com today to learn more.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. There is nothing like muscle, smoke, and mirrors. If you touch weights, if you go to a gym, if you follow a keto diet to lose body fat, then you need to learn where all of this stuff started. And Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors Volume 1 and Volume 2 set the stage for Volume 3. Volume 3 is going to talk about the 80s, the years of bodybuilding. But really, you really need all three of these books. Everybody who touches weights should have all three of these books. Buy Volume 1 and Volume 2 now and get through them so that when Volume 3 is released, you can catch right up. There is nothing out there like it. I can tell you, it changed my opinion of bodybuilding. It changed my opinion towards physical culture. The importance of physical culture for health and longevity has been long known. It's been overshadowed by bodybuilding and drugs, but we have to kind of tease that stuff out. I learned all that stuff from reading these books. Much of the stuff that has driven this show, much of the intelligence that I developed about the topics started with these books. And if you don't own these books, you're missing out. You really are. Because you're going to the gym and you're doing things and you don't know why you're really doing them. Not because some guy told you that'll put an inch on your biceps, but where these ideas, these tenets really started from. The people, the fathers of physical culture, Bernard McFadden, Eugene Sandow, they were people. They had stories. You can learn all about their stories by reading Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 1, and then forward to Volume 2 to later years, and now Volume 3. So I have to admit, I haven't read the prologue, but it's an entire chapter. It's really a very generous chapter of information that you provide.
Yeah, I'm happy with the prologue. Like I mentioned, I started 8 years ago and they put it on hiatus, but it is 4,000 words. It is the equivalent of a average size chapter. And the book cover, and the back cover, the front cover is a working copy. There's some adjustments we're making with the images, but I was able to get for this book two of my favorite, photos, bodybuilding photos. And one of them is on the cover and it's the ghost image of Frank Zane. And the Hollywood photographer Bob Gardner took that photo back around circa 1978. And I remember when I could see, I first saw it back at that time, and it was in a bookstore on the cover of Bodybuilding All-Stars. And I thought, wow, that is one of the most classic physique shots I've ever seen.
He looks like David in that picture. The pose.
It is a David pose. But the guy, Frank was at his, pretty much at his best at that time. You know, and he just had everything. He was close to 40 or at 40 years of age, and his physique was phenomenal. Like I said, it wasn't overwhelming. It was perfectly proportioned. His look, everything was there. And that's why I have him ghosted in the back there, because he was the reigning champion when Arnold and Franco came back. It was specifically Arnold who came back first, and then Franco fought the following year. But I was very pleased to be able to get that photo.
So can you give any other teasers about what people will learn in Volume 3? Because that's a pretty big bomb right there about Franco and Arnold coming back and how it may have actually derailed modern bodybuilding and the media. Anything else that's worth mentioning?
It addresses the question of were they fixed? And there's all sorts of speculations and theories as to who fixed it. It fixed them, both the shows. Both the shows were believed to be fixed. And you're going to read some stuff. Most people don't know that even CBS demanded Ben Weider come down to their headquarters and explain what they were seeing on film.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Ben wouldn't go, so he had to send Wayne DeMille. This is where the beginning of the growing in power of Wayne DeMille, who built pro bodybuilding. You know, because he had started that Night of Champions in 1978-79, and he had now replaced Arnold, as Arnold was head of the pro committee, and Wayne had replaced him, because Arnold had been going on to do other things, especially in movies and stuff. And, you know, it was right in between the Jane Mansfield story that Arnold co-starred with Lonnie Anderson.
Right.
And Conan, between those two movies that the Mr. Olympia 1980 fell. So Arnold was in shape. So again, some more speculation as to why he entered the show. But you're going to see there's a lot of things that went on as to maybe who fixed these shows. And I had gone over this for many years with Wayne DeMille, especially with the 1981 Mr. Olympia. And some people might be surprised as to what happened there, because it's not like it looked. You know, for years, like Mike mentioned, was adamant. Like Mike never competed again. One of the casualties of 1980 Mr. Olympia was Mike Mensur, because
wow,
he never competed again. And in 1981, there was a boycott. Maybe some people might not be aware of that. Frank Zane, Boyer Coe, Al Beckles, and Mike Mensur, they all boycotted the 81 Mr. Olympia. It could have been possibly one of the best lineups ever had all those guys competed, because Tom Platz was in superb condition. So was Danny Padilla. And so was Roy Callender. you know, Dickerson. It was a great Mr. Olympia anyways, besides the controversy. But
right.
had everybody competed, it would have been one of the best lineups ever in terms of just in terms of character and personalities and ethnic representation and everything like that. It was.
Do you think that was the beginning of what we see today with the NPC and the IFBB that so many people are disenchanted with, that the collusion and the supposed judges who favor this one and shun that one, and then what appears to be illogical judging, where the guy who should have won doesn't, and the guy who won shouldn't have? You think that's where it started?
Not necessarily. It was a different animal happening in those two with those two Mr. Olympias, as to compared to what evolved later on into the 90s and such, the way it is today. Today, many people say it is outright fixed. Where back then, the 1980 many believe was outright fixed. Many believe that 81 was outright fixed, but that's not necessarily the case. It was not necessarily picking a winner. Because, for example, in the case of Franco Colombo, you can't make an argument why the Weeders would want him, Mr. Olympia. But many people still think they fixed it. But you'll find out that what happened that these guys won, especially Franco, as compared to a different scenario that would manifest itself into the 90s and 2000s, which was what's going on today. So it is a little bit different. No, I wouldn't say that was the beginning of it, no. It was different.
When do you think the book one of volume three will actually be ready for publication?
We're just placing the photos now. The book's done. It's a matter of all the little things that I keep forgetting how much time that takes and getting. We hope to have a good number of photos. For book one, I think there was 33 photos for 560 pages, and volume two was 700 pages. It had about 50-something photos. We're hoping to have close to 40 photos, or probably over 40 photos for a 200-page book.
Wow.
So this book is going to be right in that size mark that they say is just the right size for reading 200 pages.
Where will people be able to get the book? At your website?
Yeah, we're not going through print on demand for a number of reasons, including the high price tag the print on demand puts on the other books. So
right.
we're going to publish ourselves.
Good. Good.
Bring
I think
the price
that's wonderful.
Down tremendously. And the smaller books too, so you have to keep them reasonable, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Put them in. Are you going to do a bundle? Will you do a volume one, volume two, and book one of volume three for some special price for people who have never seen one and two?
I don't control volume one and two. It's still being done through Author House and the publisher and stuff like that. And to bring them up to Canada, to ship them to Canada, and then to ship them back over the border, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially at the American dollar and our Canadian dollar right now, it's nuts. Our dollar's not, it's great getting royalties in U.S. currency right now, but to buy something from the States, it's incredibly expensive. So to have to ship books back over the States again, we're not even really handling much of volume one and two. I'm not at all. Tommaso's doing some in Toronto, but most people are buying it from the States through the outlets and the Amazon and stuff like that.
Will you be doing, did I hear you right? You're going to be doing one and two in sectionized ebooks at some point in time?
Yeah, to make them more reasonable size.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal. There's so many things to do, and I want to get that out. I'd like to have them all. We've been looking at voice. Voice is more expensive, and the demand really hasn't been there.
Yeah.
Compared to ebook and to a paperback. My audience is still, that middle age group and older, and they like the book. They like a book. They're still not, there are some ebook readers, but many of them still want that book, right? So I have to make sure to cater to those people who do not want to go and read a book all on the computer. They want to have a book in their hands.
Yeah, no, it's so much. And plus, the books are beautiful. Volume one and volume two are beautiful. You could put them on your coffee table. They're impeccably, like, artistic looking. They're beautiful books. So that adds to something as well. You said that this is the book, or this is the volume three is the one that may get you sued. Why?
I shouldn't have even said that. Everybody's still alive, and we're getting into a lot more controversy, right? There's always controversy surrounding competitive bodybuilding. But we're just getting into that era, especially with the NPC, and it's the birth of the NPC, okay? There's a close call to the WBF from Vince McMahon in the 90s. That's not a big deal, but you just gotta be careful with what you're saying.
But one of the things I know about you is that you're one of the most well-researched authors in this type of stuff. I mean, you really are approaching this for its historic value. I mean, this is a legacy.
Yeah.
What you've produced here is a legacy that will last hundreds of years because no one has taken the entire origins and passage of his of physical culture and put it into a book, you know, granted, volume one, volume two, volume three, but no one has done that. So you're treating this with the reverence, I would say, of someone who's writing a history book. So you can't be sued if you're telling the truth.
That's kind of a nebulous area. But, you know, I'm not too worried because you can talk in generalities when you get to some sticky areas as opposed to dropping names.
Right.
But there are some situations where it is involving a particular character or person. And then you have to be a little careful. My one buddy, Steve Spear, out of Louisiana, is a bodybuilder and writer. He told me once, he goes, I like what you're doing. He says, you're diving deep down without sinking the ship, right? So it wasn't going down to ground zero, might say, where, I don't have to, because you can tell the whole truth of bodybuilding, but just talking generalities, right?
Yeah.
In certain times. You gotta know when to talk in generalities and when you can get more specific.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I am anxiously waiting for the release of this book to add to my collection of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. And those of you listening to the show, you can get the prologue for free. It's an entire chapter for free. If you go to my website, superhumanradio.com, on the right-hand side in the blog area, you'll see it says From the Desk of Randy Roach. Click that. There's a link in there to click and get the prologue, and I promise you, the new cover is just as beautiful as Volume 1 and Volume 2. It's got Arnold and Franco, smaller images in the foreground, and it's got a beautiful picture of Frank Zane silhouetted in the background. And it's a beautiful cover, Randy. Really beautiful.
Yeah, it's not finished. There's some corrections being made to bring Frank down a little bit, increase the size of Arnold and Franco a little bit, and to put a more smoke in just to cover up some issues on the cover. It'll look really good when we're done. We just wanted to get the prologue out. So we took the draft to cover where we are now and put it out.
Yeah, great stuff. I can't wait. I just can't wait. And we will have you back on when the book is released so we can promote it on the show and get people to buy it, okay?
Great.
Thanks for being here today, Randy, and always for being there for me.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, so we're going to end the show there. We had a great show even without Marion Nestle. We hope that we'll get her booked and back on the show. And, of course, always have to thank All American Pharmaceutical, for being the title sponsor of SuperHumanRadio.com and SuperHuman Radio. We'll see you tomorrow with more. Don't forget, tomorrow's first hour will be the Blueprint Power Hour. We've got great shows all week. I don't even know what they are, but Elisa booked them all, so they're fantastic. See you tomorrow.
This is the Super.